Welcome to the Teaching Space podcast, coming to you from Guernsey in the Channel Islands. Hello and welcome to episode 118 of the Teaching Space podcast. It's Martine here. Thank you so much for joining me. Today's episode explores the world of EduTwitter. Thanks to Daniela, who's a member of the Teaching Space community, for suggesting this episode topic. Incidentally, if you'd like to join the community, you can do so over at community.theteachingspace.com. In putting this episode together for you, I've been influenced in several ways. First, of course, by my own experience, as I've been on Twitter as a teacher for a number of years, but also I read a number of articles on the topic just to explore things a little further and to extend outside of my own experience. So what I'll do is I will make sure there are links to any articles I mention and any that supported my research for this episode in the show notes, which you'll find at theteachingspace.com/118. That's the digits 118. And for clarity, this episode will focus on teachers using Twitter for their own purposes, for example, professional development, rather than using it with students. Oh, and one more thing before I dig into the topic. I'm keeping this fairly broad in that if you aren't using Twitter at the moment, this will be a good way for you to decide if it's something you want to do. And I'll make sure there's a link to an article in the show notes that walks you through the various steps of setting up a Twitter account and getting involved and that sort of thing. If you are already a Twitter user, then I'm hoping that this episode will still be of interest to you because I'm going to cover things like boundaries around how you use Twitter. So I'm going to take a well-being angle for part of the episode. I love Twitter. I'm a huge fan and I think that will come across. But I think there is a way that people can use it, particularly teachers, in a positive manner. I think it can be a toxic place and I want to avoid that at all costs. So hopefully, regardless of your stance on Twitter and whether you use it or not, you'll get some value from this episode. Right then, let's get started. I am going to kick off by just explaining what EduTwitter actually is. It is a huge group of educators from all sectors of education on Twitter who generally tend to use the hashtag EduTwitter. Now, you don't have to use that hashtag. I think it's kind of understood now that EduTwitter is the collective noun for a group of teachers on Twitter. If you're a teacher and you're on Twitter, you're part of EduTwitter. But if you want to get really good coverage for something you tweet, sticking the hashtag EduTwitter in your tweet is usually a pretty good idea. So that's what EduTwitter actually is. A group of teachers, educators, trainers, anyone working in the education sector on Twitter. Next up, I want to share some of the positives of being part of EduTwitter. And these are positives from my own perspective, but also I've talked to peers and many of them share my opinion. So I'm talking about myself really, but I think others will agree. Twitter is a great way to connect with people from all over the world working in similar or actually entirely different areas of education to you. And sometimes these meetings become in-person meetings. That's happened to me a few times, certainly at education conferences and things like that. So it's a great way to develop a network of professionals in your area. Just one of the many benefits of having a network like this is that it can lead to job offers. Do you remember AJ from episode 114 of the podcast? You can find it at theteachingspace.com/114. AJ made the move from teaching secondary to primary, and that would never have happened if it wasn't for EduTwitter. Incidentally, that interview with AJ is a really good listen. So if you've not had a chance, I really recommend you hop over to theteachingspace.com/114. I did start with a fairly significant positive there, but I just thought AJ's story was so interesting, and I just loved how EduTwitter played a role in his transition from secondary to primary. It's a big benefit, but definitely a benefit. In terms of other positives, you can, through Twitter, engage in interesting topical discussions. You can get help, advice, you can find resources to bring into your classroom. There is so much out there, and people are generally really nice and ready to give. Another benefit with my professional development hat on is that through Twitter, you can stay current by knowing what is being discussed in education right now. It's live discussion, so it's a great way to stay up to date. Staying with professional development, people on Twitter regularly share links to interesting articles, podcasts, research, events, all that good stuff. So it's an easy way to find things of that nature. On the subject of events, if you happen to go to an education event, invariably it will have an event hashtag. And so if you're there at the event, following the hashtag on Twitter is a great way to find out what's going on, things that you should go and see, also to meet up with and chat to other people at the event. If you're not at the event, you can get a flavour of it through following the event hashtag. Twitter is free professional development the vast majority of the time, although often we forget to log it. You know, you don't go onto your professional development log and put, I spent half an hour on Twitter last night. But don't forget, you know, if a tweet leads you to read a journal article or watch a video that has influenced your classroom practice or something like that, it should all go on your professional development log. Another positive for Twitter, which you may not have considered, is it's a nice way to test the water with publishing your own content. Now, I publish my own content in the form of this podcast, and also I occasionally write blog posts and articles and things like that. If this is something you are interested in doing, then having a professional Twitter account is a good starting point. You might be thinking, well, you can only publish 280 characters. At least I think that's what it is. 280 sounds about right. You can only publish short form content. Well, that's not strictly true, because you can create something called a tweet storm, which is a series of threaded tweets. So you would take a piece of longer form content, chunk it up into tweet-sized chunks, and then basically thread them together via Twitter. It's not too difficult to do, it's fairly straightforward, and it is a really nice way to publish longer form content on Twitter. Given that a lot of teachers hang out on this social media platform, it is a good place to start building your audience. Before we go to a quick ad break, I want to cover just a few of the negatives of using Twitter. It is a social media platform, the key word there being social. Invariably, you will end up using it for work purposes during your social time. This boundary needs consideration, and we're going to talk briefly about boundaries in the next section, where I will cover some well-being strategies. So I will come back to this. If you are tweeting professionally, i.e. just about education, you will need to consider your employer's viewpoint. I know some schools and colleges and universities are very strict and have very specific expectations of their staff and how they use social media. Others are more flexible and can see the benefits. So I would recommend you take into account your employer's viewpoint here, and you find out if they expect you to do anything like have some sort of disclaimer in your profile or your bio or anything like that. That's not really a negative, but it is an important consideration. I think it's worth touching on self-promotion under negatives. So I'm really thinking about this as a user of Twitter and seeing people just promote their own stuff all the time, whether that's services or a book or a podcast, for example. I include this under negatives carefully because I do promote my podcast on Twitter. That process for me is pretty much automated. I have a tool that I use to send tweets out regularly to remind people where to find podcast episodes and so on. But I try very hard to balance that with other types of tweets. And I think balance is key. If you are just self-promoting the whole time, if it's just me, nobody's terribly interested in that. You need to give and take, I think, when it comes to a social media platform like this. And finally, it would be remiss of me not to mention the fact that sometimes discussions can turn nasty. We are all education professionals, but sometimes when you can't see the face behind the words, things get misinterpreted. It can get unpleasant. It doesn't happen often, but I have seen it happen. And I think a lot of this comes back to boundaries. You need to have boundaries around what you will take part in and what you won't on a platform like this. And we'll touch on that in just a moment. It's time for a quick ad break. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will know I love Notion for project management, writing, collecting resources, tracking my reading. It's basically my second brain. If you want to up your Notion game, I highly recommend Marie Poulin's Notion Mastery course. Find out more at theteachingspace.com/Notion course. Right, in this next section, I want to cover a few EduTwitter wellbeing strategies. And the reason I'm covering these is because I think you'll see that the positives of Twitter far outweigh the negatives. But as with everything, negatives exist, and I think it's very important that you make sure you are taking care of yourself. Plus, the Teaching Space podcast is all about teacher well-being, so you'd think it was weird if I didn't mention something. I'm going to start with the B word, boundaries. Think about how and when you are going to engage in Twitter time or Twitter conversation. And this goes for people new to Twitter and for people who have been using it for a very long time. Who will you be? Is yours a teaching Twitter profile, or is it a mix of personal and professional stuff? It's really important to get that clear in your head from the outset. My personal view is that it is better to split things up. So have a teacher Twitter and have a personal Twitter. Personally, I only have a teacher Twitter. I use other social media tools, for example, Instagram, to satisfy any personal interests I have. My next tip is something I've picked up recently, and it's a recommendation, really. And it is that you think twice before participating in certain inflammatory topic-based discussions. At the time of recording, isolation booths are a topic of hot debate on Twitter. The concept of progressive and traditional teachers, prog versus trad, certain behaviour topics, that sort of thing. Just think twice. Do you want to get involved? I found a really good article by someone I follow on Twitter called Greg Ashman, and I'll link to it in the show notes. And he makes a really good suggestion about how to participate and disagree with people on Twitter, suggesting you try to attack arguments rather than the people making them. And that, in theory, will lead to a healthy discussion. The article's definitely worth a read, so do check it out. Again, you'll find the show notes at theteachingspace.com/118. I'd also recommend that you carefully curate your feed. And by that, I mean the people who you follow on Twitter. I'm not going to provide a list of people to follow for this episode. It's quite easy to find people whose opinion you respect and look at who they follow and sort of discover people that way. But remember that the people you follow on Twitter are something of a bubble for you. and it can be a bit of an echo chamber if you're not careful. So I actually recommend, for the purpose of well-being in the longer term, not just following people who are in your sector. So for example, I'm in FE, I don't just follow people in FE. Also, from a diversity perspective, don't just follow people who look like you and sound like you. You want to be challenged as part of your professional development, and Twitter can be a good place to do that in a positive way. There's plenty to reflect on there, isn't there? When you're new to Twitter, hashtags can just seem a little bit overwhelming, but they are just a way to group tweets together under a certain topic or tag. With that in mind, it's a great idea to find hashtags that are of interest to you. For example, for me, professional development is one. And use those hashtags when you tweet, and also search them so you can see what other people are saying about those topics. Another way that hashtags are useful is in relation to Twitter chats. A Twitter chat is a live event hosted by someone, specific time and date and that sort of thing, and it will have its own hashtag. The host will normally give several questions which you will answer with the hashtag, and you can chat to the people on Twitter who are participating. Generally, they're really good fun, well supported, and worth a look. A quick Google search will help you find some education Twitter chats that are okay for your time zone and work with your areas of interest. This next point, I've probably said it before, but it bears repeating. Remember, on social media, people often just show their best bits, the things they're most proud of. They'll show their classroom when it's at its tidiest, with a brand new display and beautifully organised paperwork. And, you know, teaching is just not like that every single day. So bear that in mind if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed with all of the classroom goodness you're seeing, it might be time to take a break from Twitter. It is totally fine to take a break as often as you need to, and I encourage you to do so. If you're taking a Twitter break or a Facebook break, or if you're just wanting to step away from social media for a little bit, I totally support that. I would recommend you actually deleting the app off your phone if that's how you tend to scroll most often. That's been effective for me. So yeah, take a break when you need to. In a similar vein, don't be afraid to unfollow people. They don't know you've unfollowed them. I'm reminded of a recent unfollow I carried out. I'm not going to mention any names, but this particular tweeter is really prolific in further education. He's got a huge audience and people listen to him. And some of the things he was tweeting, it was a equality and diversity matter, really concerned me, and I did engage in some debate and conversation, and I was just not satisfied with the responses I was getting. I realised that I probably couldn't make a significant change with this particular person, so I opted to unfollow, despite the fact that a lot of the good stuff he says, you know, it's good, but we fundamentally disagreed on a few things, and I hit unfollow, and I don't feel bad about that at all. When you're using Twitter, you might find that certain topics keep cropping up and you would rather not see tweets in relation to that topic. And what you can do, if that is a situation that you find yourself in, is you can mute tweets that contain certain words. So say you don't want to unfollow certain people, but you don't want to see tweets about a topic, you can mute the word. It's very difficult to explain on an audio podcast, but I will make sure there's a link in the show notes that explains to you how to have a list of words that you are muting on Twitter. This will be a temporary list. As long as the word is on the list, it will be muted, but you can take things off as and when you see fit. My final point under edgy Twitter wellbeing strategies is to remember you're human, everyone else on Twitter is human, and it's okay to be human. This kind of links to the self-promotion stuff and also boundaries. I'm not suggesting you share your entire life on Twitter. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think it would fit with the kind of professional teacher Twitter perspective that I'm encouraging, but you are human and you might make some mistakes, and admitting to them is generally a very good idea. To give you an example from my own recent experience, I spoke at a fairly high profile education conference recently. I did it by Zoom. It was remote due to our current situation. And I'd been retweeting some of the positive feedback I'd received. It occurred to me that it was a little bit self-promotional. I don't regret retweeting the positive feedback. It was nice to draw attention to what I was talking about. However, in the interest of keeping it real, I also shared a picture of my slippers because I delivered my talk in my slippers. I know it's a slightly silly example, but it is how I try to keep things real and human on my social media profiles, particularly Twitter. Okay, I think that's it. My final recommendation to you is to treat Twitter as a community, but ensure your boundaries are in place. And of course, if you're going to join Twitter or you're already on there, give me a follow. You'll find me on Twitter as Martine Guernsey. Don't forget to check out the show notes at theteachingspace.com/118. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you'll join me next time. Thank you for listening to the Teaching Space podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at theteachingspace.com.